Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go again. It is the 13th day of January 2017. It also happens to be a Friday, but I'm not a Knights Templar, so I don't think I've got anything in particular to worry about. And really, when you think about it, this being a Friday the 13th and next week being Friday the 20th, you know what I did today? I walked around stepping on cracks, walking under ladders, opening umbrellas in rooms, throwing rocks at mirrors. Because next week, right? Let's just get it all out of the way. Yeah, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And when you go to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, you'll see a new and streamlined website courtesy of John Fox. Thank you, John. Thank you so very much. And you will find a streamlined PayPal interface under the tab Contribute. It's a lot simpler. Now we did leave the dot there. We left the $1,000 dot there for George Soros. Whenever George, decides he wants to support independent, progressive broadcasting. So, I mean, it don't be put off, but it's there. It's there. But it's also a very much a streamlined process, like I said. And I hope you like it, and there are more changes coming. More busy website going forward. So I hope you enjoy it. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and I want to start out the evening by offering huge thanks to Fab and to our subscribers and Randy for making sure that we did not enter this evening in a great big giant honking hole. And instead, we can just go forward with regular fundraising this evening. Thank you very, very much indeed. So with any luck, 10 at 20, 20 at 10, whatever, we'll finish two straight weeks, the first 2 weeks of 2017, here as we create this home for the resistance to fascism. We'll finish two straight weeks okay with fundraising. So thank you very much, everybody, who has made that a possibility and has made that, in fact, a reality. It means a great deal indeed. And we will start the evening, courtesy of Mike in Cascadia, we will start the evening with a $25 challenge on the table in hopes of getting a match-a-lanch going. So somebody match Mike's, and then somebody will match yours matching Mike's, and somebody matches yours, and that's how a match-a-lanch happens. And again, the interface is over at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. For those of you who prefer the United States Postal Service, the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, WV-25801. Checks, money orders, both welcome. And just give me a heads up if you want to, and that way I can tell Boss Man Wayne, and that way he will know that he can leave the spider-proof gloves in the big red truck. And, all he'll have to take with him is you know, a cordless drill with a really, really, really good heavy duty bit in it in case he runs into the mighty exalted Kleagle of the Klan, who also gets their mail at that particular UPS store because UPS just loves them some Klan. Right. But most importantly, far from being worked up over it being Friday the 13th, it's Friday on the front porch the 13th. And consequently, here in about 55 minutes or so, we will fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that closes out every week at the Horn and have what I hope will be a rousing conversation that will carry us through until Moran Monday rolls around on the 16th, the 16th of January. This is, of course, Martin Luther King Day, birthday weekend. And I hope everyone takes some reflective time in noting or celebrating that. I would remind right wingers that he said a whole lot more stuff than that line about judging a man by the content of his character and not just the color of his skin. Not because there's a whole bunch more. There's even some stuff about capitalism in his writings and talking about what a pernicious negative influence it is on any culture that tries to have something resembling morals. And happy birthday going out today to Patrick. I hope you've had a lovely and happy birthday indeed, Patrick. We're glad you are part of the community. Glad indeed. So anyway, if you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch and you would like to, you are more than welcome to fire up your Skype and send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunc, one word, and he'll show you the breadcrumb trail and direct your attention to the Bob signal shining off the clouds, and you will be part of the Friday on the Front Porch Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Something the likes of which doesn't happen many other places at all, really, progressive or right-wing. Will, I know. Will in Chicago pointing out in the chat room, which you're welcome to jump into. Just click on chat room, pick yourself out a name and a password, jump in. You'll be welcomed by Don from Central PA, Jug of Punch, Will in Chicago, and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who will gladly show you around the chat room as well as welcome you to the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Either way, and more will be along presently. I mean, it's Friday and stuff, so people are wrapping things up, especially over here in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. Of course, it's just a little past 3 out on the left coast. And wow, I got no idea at all what time it is for Steve in China. Yes, yes, Marty, the chat room does still require Java. And I'm not sure how. I think it goes away in March. Is that it, Sparky? I'm not sure. Sparky deals with all things chat room. Hell, sometimes I have to ask Sparky for the back door address to it when I have problems. So I'm not exactly a font of information on it. But it is Friday on the Front Porch, and we will have plenty to talk about. And that's the beauty of it. It's not like the McLaughlin Roundtable where I scream at people and say, "You, what's your take?" No. Everybody gets to talk. Everybody gets to engage in friendly conversation. Sometimes we don't necessarily agree, but we do so in an agreeable fashion. And that's what's key to it all. If you absolutely cannot use Skype, if it's like the boogaloo and it just plumb evades you, well, we do have the stress line for you. 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. It works better for some than for others. As for Java Chat going away in March, Sparky said, maybe, we shall see. So that's how that plays. Okay, where to begin? How about money? Because it's always fun to watch. Well, I mean, it's not really money. It's just a commemorative coin. But the alt-white is in a white, and I do mean white, hot fury, over a brand new 225th anniversary of the Mint commemorative coin. It'll be released this year. It'll be released on April the 6th. As far as numismatics go, it's a pretty coin. But here's what's got the alt-white and, you know, various and sundry other trumpansies all in a fury. The coin is a liberty coin. And, of course, there's a long tradition in American coinage of Lady Liberty. I mean, for instance, if I reach into my pocket here and I pull out my car keys, there's a tradition in my family that goes way back. And this thing gets, it has been rubbed almost smooth. It's a 1921 silver 50-cent piece. It is what's referred to as a walking Liberty 50-cent piece. It was given to me by my mother, and it was given to her by her father, who insisted that she keep it on her key ring so that she would never be broke. These things mattered to people who had survived the Great Depression. So on April the 6th, 2017, the U.S. Mint will release a 225th anniversary commemorative $100 24-karat gold coin. Mm-hmm. And Lady Liberty on the coin is depicted as an African-American woman, with her hair in, is that cornrows or dreads? I lack the vocabulary, but anyway, and pulled back and gathered into sort of a bun in the back. She's pretty. She's also stern, which is kind of how Lady Liberty has always, you know, Lady Liberty doesn't show up on the coinage strutting around like, I don't know, an Eastern European sex pot model. She's very, very strong. And so in this coin, you have the depiction of a strong black woman. And like I said, the trumpansies went batshit. Lady Liberty isn't black. That simple. No, you simple. The discrimination of white people by the Obama administration continues. Well, that's fine. But if they do one with a Latina on it, it better come with papers. Yeah. I'm surprised it's not a Muslim. It's.
I'll bet if it was a white man on the coin, the left would come unglued, crybabies.
Said one asshole who didn't realize that he was just tickling the chin of the goddess of irony by being a crybaby about a black woman on a gold coin. Yeah. And Asa points out, so why are we being politically correct and calling them alt-right or alt-white? Let's call them what they are. Nazis! Okay, the Nazis were having a fit. The Klansmen were having a fit.
This administration doing everything to change history, including changing Lady Liberty from what the French sent us. Pathetic racism.
I know, I was doing the Trump voice, but it sounds so Trumpy, doesn't it? And, of course, there's the fact that if you look at the Statue of Liberty down by her little sandaled, green-sandaled feet, you'll notice what? Chains. Broken chains. There's even some historical discussion about the fact that the Lady Liberty model was, you know, a black woman. And here's another conservative right-wing Klansman Nazi who,
I wouldn't pay a dime for it. This proves that the Obamas are racist.
Yeah, I know. No, you wouldn't pay a dime for a $100 gold coin. Oh, the stupid is strong with these ones. But they're having a fit. And see, it's part of an overall program. There will be another commemorative coin that will have Lady Liberty depicted as a Native American woman. And there will, in fact, be another Lady Liberty who is Latina. I mean, Lady Liberty has been a white woman for quite some time now. Do you know what I mean? Might be worth remembering and noting here from a historical perspective that the Lady Liberty on top of the Capitol Dome, which is different, but the Liberty motif has been strong since the founding of the country, because it proved proved an effective propaganda tool. Yeah, you may be dirt poor, may not be able to vote, but you got you some liberty. Sit, Liberty, sit. Woof. But it's worth remembering that when she was sculpted, she was, if you see it now, she's wearing this big, goofy headdress of turkey feathers. But when she was originally sculpted, she was supposed to be wearing a Liberty cap, but a certain senator objected, saying, well, we can't have Lady Liberty wearing no Liberty cap. After all, a free people don't need no Liberty cap. So the Liberty cap was ditched in favor of the goofy turkey feather headdress. You might be interested to know that the senator who did all that objecting and talking about how free people don't need no Liberty cap, that was then Senator Jefferson Davis. Uh-huh. Yeah, see, he didn't want anybody getting any notions about putting no Liberty caps on down in Mississippi. Yeah, I know. Robert somewhere near Morgantown says, yeah, discrimination against white people, just like and as real as all the religious persecution of Christians my auntie keeps telling me about. Well, that's true, Sparky pointing out the Statue of Liberty is green. That's what I was talking about a minute ago, her little green feet. She's a Martian. Martian Liberty. Or does that mean she's a moon maiden? She'd be red if she was from Mars. It's the moon that's made of green cheese. But, you know, it's just another moment of great American white wing pout rage. But damn, they're funny. If they're not busy being so confounded, you know, dangerous. News broke last night that Paul Anka had said he would perform for 75-year-old Paul Anka. Heaven, my baby. No, Paul Anka was supposed to perform My Way in a special rewritten lyric for the head of the Pea Party. Yeah. The pervert in chief incoming. And suddenly, all of a sudden, Paul Anka declared that no, he won't be. He said, not going to be singing for the inauguration. I've been in a custody battle for 2 years for my son, Ethan. We have a new schedule now, and we're unable to do it. And I don't exactly know what this means, but somebody asked him, Paul Anka, if his politics matched Trump's. And he said, you've got a better chance of getting a sunrise past a rooster. Anybody want to translate that from the original Weasel speak for me? Because I don't. But he's not going to be there. And the whole miserable business of the 7 days inauguration just keeps delving further into the realm of the absurd. You know, you can't have a few hundred thousand people wandering around the nation's capital, especially outside, and not have some sort of portable sanitary facilities. You know, John's. Porta-potties. They're a convenient modern necessity for massive groups of people, so you don't have them. Well, I mean, we're talking about Trumpansies; they might shit on the lawn anyway. But a bunch of them are coming from a company, because there are companies that have lots and lots of porta potties, and the company contracted to provide some of them at the inauguration. And, you know, they try to be cute and catchy because of the nature of the business that they're in. The name of the company is Don's Johns. Get it? Don Juan, huh? Yeah, right. Yeah, clever. Oh, hell, let's give them a little cowbell for Don's Johns. But the Trump people are furiously running around now with rolls of blue, like duct tape, gaffer's tape, maybe, because every porta potty has a sign on it saying where it came from. To wit, Don's Johns. What is the name of the guy, the pervert who's going to be entering the White House a week from today? 7 days. Why, it's Donald John Trump. And so, at the behest of Kellyanne Conway or racist Bannon or God knows who, they've gotten a couple of rolls of blue gaffer's tape, and they're running around taping over the words Don's Johns. Because I guess they're afraid the Trumpansies will be confused. Or maybe they'll try to steal one to take it home as a souvenir of the day America started getting all great again. They're going to take home one of Don's Johns. Because, you know, that's one of Trump's personal porta-potties. It might even come with its own Russian prostitute inside, for all we know.
Yeah, I know. You see, I was remembering something along those lines, but I didn't have it to hand. The Mac just wrote asking, wasn't the original Statue of Liberty replete with black features and was kind of sent back to France to become more acceptably white? Son of a bitch! Okay, note coming in from Michael in Madison, upon whom I can always count for the critical factual corrections like this. Subject line, Lady Liberty. Lady Liberty is green. Damn. Not sure why I never realized it, but she's an Orion slave girl. Hashtag OSTR. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are these kisses, Jim Kirk? Give me another of those kisses. Yeah, she's the green woman from... Damn. And we never got to... Well, there's our obligatory Star Trek reference. That's what the OSTR hashtag is for. Oh, God. I hope the rest of the program is as much fun as I'm having already. God, I love Friday on the Front Porch. Darlene with a comment says, wow, what a beautiful coin. And it really is. It's a lovely piece of numismatic art. It is so refreshing to see this. Isn't diversity beautiful and interesting? Of course, the Trumpanistas, Trumpansies, want everything white and tight. How boring and pathetic. And I don't know why Lady Liberty can't be a hillbilly like the rest of us. Oof. Wait a minute. More cowbell. This is a cowbell that reaches all the way around the planet to Australia and Robert. Do you take a Trump in a Don's John? By God, I think you do. Where are you going? I'm going to go take a Trump. That one may stick. Ron in the somewhat thawed out north, pointing out Captain Kirk will be along to seduce the green lady presently. Probably bringing some Romulan ale, you know, that shit's illegal. That's true. Will in Chicago, of course, pointing out Lady Liberty was initially copper, but copper gets oxidized to green. Which, with her being copper, would kind of made sense for her to have African features, right? I mean, a person who's the color of copper is not going to look like one of the women from fucking ABBA, right? Yeah. And meanwhile, the House of Representatives has taken a bold step to create death sentences for several millions of Americans. They too have taken their first step toward the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, because we've got just way too many Americans who can go to the doctor when they're sick. And it raises the question, I don't have a viable answer, or at least I don't have an answer that I can say in public. What do you do when a bunch of politicians are passing laws specifically designed to lead to your death? Does that create a right in the person so targeted? Is there a right of resistance?
Is there a right of recrimination? Is there a right of self-defense? Going all the way back in the into the merry oldie English common law, the right of self-defense, as the NRA will tell you, is one of the oldest rights, affirmative defenses available at common law. But how do we, who are targeted by Republicans in the Senate and in the House and by the President of the United States incoming, how do we defend ourselves against this attempt to kill us? I mean, you know, the firearms fetishists and the gun humpers out there. Well, you know, I got 72 firearms here in my house in case the government ever comes and tries to put its jackbooted jackboots down on my freedom-loving neck and take my guns. Putting their freedom-loving, putting their jackboots down right there where I got it tattooed on my neck. No, only God can judge me. That's why I'm keeping my firearms in case the government decides to impinge upon my liberty. Sit, liberty, sit. You're right. But, and you know what? Some of those firearms fetishists and gun humpers are going to be people who lose their health care because of actions of Republicans. Because there's not just a whole bunch of Democrats out there voting to repeal the Affordable Care Act. No, it's Republicans. In point of fact, last night over on Chicken Noodle News, remember, the incoming pervert-in-chief says that they'll suffer the consequences. Well, they had a town hall. Elite.
Wow. You just mentioned pre-existing.
Elite, hard-hitting, real professional journalist, Jake Tapper, hosted a town hall meeting about health care, and his special guest was none other than Speaker of the House, Paul Eddie Munster Ryan, whose number one, two, and three fetish objects are destroying the Affordable Care Act, Medicare, Medicaid, four, and Social Security. Because, of course, he rose to prominence because Social Security was there after his father died early, before his time, leaving him to the tender mercies of the free market, except the Social Security was there, and he rode that all the way into college. You're welcome, asshole. And so Paul Ryan was there, Eddie Munster, when Jake Tapper introduced him to someone Paul Ryan probably really didn't want to hear from.
Problem. You just mentioned pre-existing conditions. Let me introduce you, and please get up, because I know you want to engage. Jeff Jeans is from Sedona, Arizona.
No, really. Jake Tapper had to tell Paul Ryan to stand the fuck up that a citizen was speaking to him. Because otherwise, he was just going to sit there and lounge in his chair, you know, like he says that welfare is a hammock for the rest of us. No, you want to get up, Paul. I mean, thanks for helping. Thanks for showing Eddie how to display a little bit of manners. But anyway, let's go to the audio, shall we?
Engage. Jeff Jeans is from Sedona, Arizona. He was a lifelong Republican, and then something happened. Jeff.
Come back.
I was a Republican, and I worked for the Reagan and Bush campaigns.
Just like you, I was opposed to the Affordable Care Act. When it was passed, I told my wife we would close our business before I complied with this law. Then, at 49, I was given 6 weeks to live with a very curable type of cancer. We offered three times the cost of my treatment, which was rejected. They required an insurance card. Thanks to the Affordable Care Act, I'm standing here today alive. Being both a small business person and someone with pre-existing conditions, I rely on the Affordable Care Act to be able to purchase my own insurance. Why would you repeal the Affordable Care Act without a replacement?
Oh, we wouldn't do that. We want to replace it with something better. First of all, I'm glad you're standing here. I mean, really, seriously. I mean,
clap, monkeys.
Can I say one thing? I hate to interrupt you.
Oh, this is going to burn Paul Ryan's shorts.
One thing. I want to thank President Obama from the bottom of my heart because I would be dead if it weren't for him.
Yeah. His shorts are still smoking after that. We want to replace it with something better. What? Don't know. Any idea when you're going to go? No? No, not really. Probably after 2018. But we're going to repeal it right now. Now, see, Paul Ryan is, what's the phrase I'm looking for here? A goddamn liar. Because he's the Speaker of the House. And if they had wanted to replace the Affordable Care Act with something, and bear in mind all of their ideas for replacement are absolutely silly shit, like, hey, on the day you're born, the federal government is going to give you a 15-cent voucher for a bottle of aspirin, and you can take those aspirin any time in your life that you want to. And you know what? It covers contraception, too, because you can hand an aspirin to all your daughters and tell them to keep it between their knees until they're ready to conceive a good, white, Christian child. Or a healthcare savings account, like we talked about, where you put in a dollar a week so that when Precious Lumpkin is maybe 50 years old, they can afford what? To get that little otoscope thingy put in their ear? Well, nothing wrong with your eardrum. Well, there went my healthcare savings account. Thanks so much, Doc. Yeah, that. But no, he's a goddamn liar. Because that bill that they voted on didn't have anything about replacements in it. The Senate had an opportunity to say, okay, well, you know, we're going to repeal that communist Affordable Care Act with all that corporate welfare in it. But you know what? We're going to protect letting 20-something stay on their parents' policies till they're 26. Nope. Republicans voted that down. We're gonna protect the pre-existing condition rule. Nope. Republicans voted that down. They have no goddamned intent whatsoever to do anything but hang 30 million Americans out to dry. Well, I don't know. After you're dead, it's not so much drying as desiccating, is it? You know, like one of those little Inca mummies up in the Andes. They just kind of tuck their knees up under their chins and up there on top of Pachamama and you're all better because you're not hurting anymore because you're dead. So, Ryan later on said, we want to do this at the same time and in some cases in the same bill. So we want to advance repealing this law with its replacement at the same time. Only that's not what they're doing. At all. Even a little bit. Yeah. And God only knows how much mischief they will have made by this time next week, 7 days. Yeah, I know. And I'm already trying to figure out how I deal with it. I'm like about 29,999,999 other Americans. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to deal with it. There won't be any more procedures to take care of my goofy innards. There won't be any more stress tests to make sure my heart's okay. There won't be any more of any of that. There won't be any more prescriptions either, so I've had to go through and look at, you know, some scripts are scrippier than other scripts. I'll probably be able to afford my blood pressure medicine. It costs probably less than 10 cents to produce 30 of those little 10-milligram pills. And so for $10 a month, I can have 30 of them. And probably for the same $10, I can have regular metformin, not the time-released stuff that keeps me from bouncing like a yo-yo, keeps my blood glucose from bouncing like a damn yo-yo. I can manage that. The proton pump inhibitor that works for me and keeps me from just suffering constant fire in the belly, well, that's up over $100 for a 30-day supply, so that's not going to be happening. We'll be going over the counter and sort of hoping for the best where that's concerned. The $2,000 a month pancreatic enzyme, that's not happening. The pharmaceutically standardized fish oil, not either. And probably most disturbingly, my cholesterol is manageable. It's the fact that I'm a triglyceride factory that screws up my metabolic chemistry. And the pill for that, that's not happening either. And I'm not sure. It's probably a pretty good guess that the whatever the generic name is for Crestor is not going to happen either. And I'm hoping the absence of none of those. I mean, the blood pressure is critical, and the metformin is critical. But the other stuff is not exactly unnecessary. And that's just me. I'm not like Nicole Sandler, who tweeted last night, I beat cancer in 2016. Repealing the ACA will be a death sentence. And I read that, and my soul, spirit, being, self just wept. I mean, I'm small potatoes in this so far. But there are a lot of other people out there that Republicans are actually moving to kill. It would be no damn different if they were walking toward your house with a bunch of hand grenades and a machine gun. It is the same thing. And as long as we don't understand that, well, and as long as they understand that we don't understand that, they'll do it. Because they're operating on orders. They're operating on orders from the Koch brothers. They're operating on orders from the pharmaceutical industry and the health insurance industry. But I don't know. You tell me. Do the American people understand that what is being done relative to health care in this country and the Affordable Care Act, do the American people generally understand that this is an act of war perpetrated by the Republicans in the House and the Senate against the people of the United States? I doubt we do, because there's not a lot of people out there, certainly not in the for-profit media, there's nobody out there willing to say the Congress has gone to war with you. Do you think the firearm fetishists and the gun humpers realize that? Oh, by God, they were ready to march on Washington with their freedom protectors because one of those was in our White House. But if an orange guy and his cronies, if a serial adulterer and sexual deviant and his allies come for your health care, well, that's a form of tyranny too. And insofar as nobody ever came for the gun humpers' guns, it is a far more real one. I mean, how do you translate, or can you even express it this way? You can have my health care when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. You see, that doesn't even really work either. Because the Republicans are more than happy to have your fingers get cold and dead while clasping a policy that no longer is in force. What are you going to do? Get shut out of your chemo and start walking to D.C.? Yeah, it ain't going to happen either. Gerald pointing out, that's right, Bob. Most of those seats were bought for them. All debts must be repaid, you know, and that repayment will be in the form of favorable legislation. Hell, here in West Virginia, we just put a coal executive in charge of the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection. Permitting. Whatever. And there will be debts that have to be paid. We're going into dangerous places, the likes of which we have never been before. Sure, we've been a massively uninsured nation before. But we've never actually moved governmentally to take away health insurance from people who had it. That's new. Just a quick catch-up. No, not ketchup. Catch-up. You know how the for-profit media jumped right out there the other morning and said, the Russian dossier is clearly fake news. He categorically denied it. Well, no, he didn't, because nobody asked Donald Trump, have you ever participated in a golden shower party with prostitutes in Moscow at a time when you can be verified as having been in Moscow. Well, the other day, Penthouse Magazine put out a bounty for verifiable video, $1 million bounty for anyone who could give Penthouse recordings of Trump's Pea Party escapades at the Ritz-Carlton in Moscow. In an interview with the International Business Times, Penthouse editor Ralphie Aronowitz said, if the story's real, which we don't know if it is or not, it really kind of hits at the interaction between politics, scandal, and sex, which is a brand both historically and currently is our sweet spot. And he also noted that they have already received three claims for the $1 million offer. Do you remember? Because this is what I thought of immediately the other morning. When they said, we'll prove it. Remember a guy named Gary Hart? Those of us of a certain age most certainly do. Gary Hart had presidential ambitions from the Democratic side of the aisle. And there's been a lot of talk, smoke, if you will, about the fact that Gary Hart had been a-romping with a woman, not his spouse. Gary Hart said, follow me around. Prove it. Short time thereafter, photographs emerged of a woman by the name of Donna Rice sitting on the lap of Gary Hart aboard a boat, probably somewhere near Bimini, aboard a boat called the Monkey Business. Of course, that was a Democrat. And we must always remember that the ancient adage, the political law of I-O-K-I-Y-A-R, applies. It's okay if you're a Republican. But there is more and more and more smoke billowing up from this business. Turns out that the former Miss Hungary who participated in a Miss Universe pageant in Moscow in 2013, which of course was put on by Trump because he owned the pageant, and this would be at about the same time that he was paying prostitutes to go pee-pee for him. Kata Sarka was Miss Hungary, and she has told the story a number of times about how Donald Trump walked up to her, took her by the hand, and invited her up to his hotel room. Showing the person who was interviewing her, she said, he grabbed my hand like this. He was standing in the middle of a group of bodyguards. He grabbed my hand. He pulled me towards himself, and he asked, who are you? He asked in English. Then I was so surprised. I'll tell you who it was in a moment. I was so surprised that I couldn't say anything except, Hungary. He was kind.
He gave me his business card with his private phone number and invited me over to his room. I was surprised, but obviously I did not take it seriously. And she still has the business card. And she's even provided it to a tabloid back in November. By the way, that was 2013. Donald Trump married Melanoma in 2005. And we might want to recall that Donald Trump has cheated, committed adultery with every time he's been married, he's committed adultery against the woman to whom he has been married.
Hey, who are you? Would you like to come up to my room? I got some really cheap champagne up there. No, it's the best champagne. Really, I only have the best champagne.
It'll be interesting to see if the $1 million bounty offered by Penthouse pays off. Oh, and one other thing. You know, there was a whole bunch of, now, calm down. It was an internal routing error a couple of days ago when suddenly C-SPAN was replaced by RT, you know, the Russian network. People watching C-SPAN were watching C-SPAN, watching C-SPAN, watching C-SPAN, and then RT. And all the people who are engaged in a deep, deep case of flagellation said, "Oh, now calm down, everybody. It was just an internal routing error. C-SPAN said so." And then there was this weird little moment on MSNBC when the Washington Post's foreign affairs correspondent, intel correspondent, veteran reporter, David Ignatius, was being interviewed by Chris Matthews, and this happened. Courtesy of Mediaite.
Relations with Russia, and it's hard to argue that point. Our relations have been poisonous. It's dangerous when you have Russian jets buzzing U.S. warships in the Baltic. I think that's correct. The question is, what's the price of that rapprochement? And a lot of people would say the Russians really do need to change their behavior. Second, you know, is it realistic to do it? Yeah, I think it can be done, but. I actually think this whole flap, whatever the Russians may have intended with their hacking, has made it much more difficult to get to where they want. There's now a big impediment. When you hear General Mattis today, Mike Pompeo, the CIA director, almost swearing that they're going to be hardliners on Russia, 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 on
Russia. That wasn't me. That happened live. Russia, 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 Russia. Mm-hmm. I mean, these things just happen. I mean, it's all just coincidence. I mean, this is not the Alex Jones program, so I'm not going to sit here and say, false flag, false flag. But then when Mike Pompeo was being questioned during his confirmation hearings as CIA director by the Senate Intelligence Committee, at the very moment when the discussion turned to Russian hackers and any impact they may have had in the recently passed election, suddenly the lights went out in the Capitol of the United States. Well, actually in a Senate hearing room in one of the Senate office buildings, but you get the idea. Nothing to see here. Move along now. All right. So that pretty much does it for the filibobster. Looking forward to Friday on the front porch. If you've never participated, I encourage you to jump in if you'd like. Again, the way you do that, just send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk. One word, S-P-A-R-K-Y, S-P-A-R-K-Y-D-U-N-C. And he will... He'll get you into the group. Mm-hmm. We try to raise $200 every evening, and we are at $200 to go with a $25 starting match-a-lanch courtesy of Mike in Cascadia on the table. Somebody matches that, and somebody matches that, and somebody matches that, and the next thing you know, we're done with fundraising. And the website is up and running. Head on RadioNetwork.com, just click on the tab Contribute. There's a streamlined, we don't have to talk about what you do or where you do it. There's just a nice streamlined PayPal interface now. Boom, done. And so it would be great if we could finish the second full week of January 2017 to the good, or, you know, even in fundraising. Michael and Madison writing in, Russia, 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 Russia. Damn it, Bob, I was just about to crack a glow stick. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I got a cowbell for that. So let's take a break, fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, and see where this Friday on the Front Porch takes us. This is listener-supported, emphasis on the words listener and supported, Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Right here.
the tubes. Fee Wei Bill. She's a beauty. And don't fall in love. No, don't do that. It is 6 minutes past the hour. And let's go over and get started right away on the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable by checking in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
What's happening?
You know, I went and saw the Tubes when they were doing that tour in 1983.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of a stage presentation they did.
Well, they were a heck of a show back in the day, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I went to see them at the Reading Civic Auditorium. I remembered to take my earplugs.
Loud, was it?
Yeah, the place is not made for concerts. It's all concrete and stuff.
Oh, lots of bounce.
Mm-hmm. But it was a good show. I remember that much.
Yeah, I remember that much.
Well, I was with
That's the classic statement of anybody.
Prior girlfriend.
That's the classic statement of anybody who lived through the arena show era of rock and roll. It was a good show. I mean, I remember that much. I mean, I remember.
Well, they had the swing set up. The guy was on the swing, and he was in the striped Carnival Barker outfit with the cane kind of thing.
I just remember the lights coming up on a lot of shows at the end of a lot of shows. At the Von Braun Civic Center in Huntsville, Alabama, and you really couldn't see anything because it was just, you were inside a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wasn't like from the smoke effects or anything. It was real smoke. But, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, how's the deluge out your way?
Oh, it ended today. It's clear and windy today, or this morning. And we got enough rain, I'll tell you that much. And, ever heard of the Heavenly Valley Ski Resort?
No.
Over Lake Tahoe?
Oh, okay, yeah, just Tahoe, sure.
Yeah, they got 12 feet of snow.
Happy, happy ski entrepreneurs.
And it's been officially declared that 40% of the state is out of drought now. I read in the paper this morning.
Yeah, what about the other 60%?
Well, that'd be the Southern California.
Which, and still in drought, right?
Yeah, there's varying degrees of drought as you go. I read yesterday it's around the coast area, Santa Barbara, and that area, down to L.A., was the driest.
Well, we had somebody on the, and I think it was Todd. We had Todd on the stress line for a few minutes, but Todd, if you want to jump in, Todd's used Skype. Todd's been in the Skype before, hasn't he?
Yeah, all he has to do is turn on his Skype and IM me.
Yeah, do that, Todd.
And
we'll get you right in because we've got a good group started here. We've got, let's run over and check in with Don from Central PA. What's happening, Don?
Oh, not much. Can you hear me?
We hear you fine.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, the mic I have come from my palm pack that I bought back in 1995 and never used, so.
But you hung on to it.
Oh, yeah, I have a box just full of odds and ends.
Oh, that's, yeah, way, way, way back in the early days of the horn, Peter Godbold told me about the fact that he lived in Peter's home for Wayward Hardware, and I understand that a lot better now. I mean, just old cards, and I think there's an old microphone or two, an old webcam, whatever, and it just sort of accumulates over the years.
Yeah, that's. I think I have a couple of 340 megabyte hard drives laying around, things like that.
I think that's what came on my first computer. Oh God, what was it? My Pentium 95 machine. or Windows 95 or whatever it would. Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually, this was off an old digital machine that ran MS-DOS and Windows 3.1.
Oh, yes, Windows 3.1 for warehouses.
Oh, those were the good old days.
Yeah, I think my first laptop weighed about 70 pounds. And it ran Windows 3.1 for... Mm-hmm. Well, welcome in. What's happening this evening?
Oh, not much. Waiting for the wintry mix to arrive. I guess it's supposed to be here about midnight. Snow, freezing rain, sleet.
Oh, joy.
Yeah, that's what we had Tuesday night, Wednesday, and I think they're calling for it on Monday also.
Well, hereabouts, we're expecting a low tonight of about 39 and probably some rain. And for 7 days from now, I don't know what it's going to be like in D.C., but we're looking at rain and 60 degrees with a low of 48. This is an interesting January.
Yes, it is.
I mean, today, I had to drive across the river, and it was, I mean, pea soup fog. You couldn't see 20 feet in front of your vehicle. And that's just strange for this time of year.
Yeah, it was foggy here today. Not quite that bad, but it was weird.
Well, we're so close to the new river. What happens is the river, it's like the river tries to fly. And so you'll get this band of fog that's the same shape of the river that comes up about 900 feet out of the gorge and then spreads out from there. It's a neat effect. Go ahead.
With the hills and the valley, sometimes you look out and, like, on the side of a mountain, you can just see the fog, like, halfway up. Then the top will be, like, completely immersed in sunshine and clear. It's really sort of a bizarre sight. But...
I'm just looking. I was just checking the forecast. Partly sunny on Friday in Washington, D.C., high of 57, low of 47. I imagine Donald Trump will probably take credit for that, too.
I would imagine. It would be appropriate if it was like 33 degrees.
Oh, see, I remember January 20th, 2009, when it was like, by the time I got there that night, it was like zero. That was the night that Guy James and I wandered around looking for a bite to eat, and that was the night that Guy walked into the Indian restaurant and asked him if they served beef. I think the cold was getting to him. Well, let's check in. Ron's with us from the thaw. Is it thawing or freezing or what, Ron?
Right now, Fahrenheit, it's about 10, 12 degrees. It's supposed to get colder. I can see stars. That usually means I need to insulate my pool table.
Your pool table?
It took a week, but after almost two 40-pound bags of salt, I got my front sidewalk back down to bare ground. And it's only about 10 or 12 feet long, but the ice was a solid 4 inches thick on it when I got home last week.
So, yeah, you had a small curling lane.
Yeah, I've been using the miracles of chemistry to.
But I mean, when it gets down below like 19 degrees, that's when you have to start moving toward the real chemistry, because salt doesn't work then, right?
Yeah, something like that. But you can mix it with beet juice. Believe it or not.
Beet juice? Yep.
The residue left after they make beet sugar. It seems to coat the salt, makes it last longer, but it also makes it start working faster and works down to right around minus two, minus five, somewhere in that range.
So up there in far Canada, do you just go around the corner to Beats R Us or what?
Oh, it's quite an industry down in southern Ontario growing beets. And it's a pulp residue, so they just mix it in, pulverize it, get it liquefied somehow, and then as the salt's being spread, they spray the salt with a real light stream of beet juice.
Don't say stream.
Or they'll yeah, a red stream. Oh, look out for the red. Or they'll go down, if they know it's going to be an ice storm or something like that, they're starting to pre-spray the roads before the storm hits. So it's...
Wait a minute. I think I've got a new take on Frank Zappa. Watch out where those Ruskies go, and don't you eat that beet juice snow.
Well, I'm willing to let them try just about anything they want.
Well, you know, in Wisconsin they use cheese making brine.
Yep.
That works well.
Mix it with the salt, and it turns into a brine. Put it on the road.
It beats the hell out of coal ash being used down here.
Yeah, I remember that. We used to call it, remember when
cinders
and clinkers? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't that long ago when they were spreading it on the frozen Missouri River. What a great idea that was.
Yeah. But not everybody's brilliant, Bob.
I don't think this is a brilliance test. This is a simple, basic, right there with being able to tie your shoelaces kind of level.
That's why God invented Velcro, so the Republicans could walk around without tripping.
Oh, God, I know. It's painful.
Anyway, I've been able to catch some of the show this week. I had a couple of weeks away. I've enjoyed it.
And, you even enjoyed it whilst being sick, right?
I did. I was damn near prone, but not quite. I haven't gone back to listen to it, but I suspect that I probably didn't hit all the high points. In any event, I did want to report, based on Sparky's earlier report, that my wife is still in Oakland. My daughter has a rain gauge, and from last Friday until the rain stopped last evening sometime, they had 10 inches of rain between Friday and last night. That's a fair whack of rain.
Well, especially out in that neighborhood.
Yeah. And apparently, there's more coming in. Used to be called the Pineapple Express, but apparently that was too correct. So it's now called an atmospheric river. Comes in from Hawaii.
Well, that sounds very science-y.
It does, doesn't it? Well, I'm just going to sit here and listen and interject snide comments for the rest of the night.
Snide is good.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get Carol back someday, and she can do snarky.
She would be more than welcome. Of course, she works awful hard through the week, and I imagine by the time Friday rolls around, she'd be pretty much plumb licked.
Well, I'm pretty certain, based on the weather forecast out there right now, she's probably sitting on her front porch, socks on, just reveling in the fact that it's cool and she's not sweating.
Always a bonus. Well, let's check in then and see what's going on with Steve from Georgistan.
What's going on, Bob?
I asked you first.
Well, last week we were anticipating a half foot of snow, and today it was 72 degrees. So there's no global warming or extreme climate change going on, is it? We're just being fed a bunch of shit.
No, I saw a post from down in my old hometown. Talking about tulip trees getting ready to bud.
Oh, that'll work out well for them, won't it?
Oh, yeah, and if that happens, well, the peach trees aren't far behind, and so much for the peach crop. Because, see, the downside of all of this is that, maybe I'm wrong, but if you get a January like this, the other shoe is going to fucking drop.
Oh, yeah, Yeah, and everything budding and flowering, including, you know, vegetables, it's going to wipe it all out.
Well, and in your case, what will probably happen as the winter deepens, and I mean, I've lived through this in Atlanta, you'll probably get one of those 4-inch ice storms.
Oh, they're a lot of fun.
They declare martial law on the downtown connector and things like that.
Oh, yeah, that's a real hoot. So let me ask you something, Bob. There's a movement to get rid of Comey. And I don't know how I feel about that, because then you're stuck with Rudy.
You think that's just the default position, that he'd make Rudy the director of the FBI?
Probably. Probably, and that scares the hell out of me. I mean, how do you feel about that?
No, I was thinking about the very same thing earlier.
Yep.
You ditch Comey, but it's going to be that way with anything in regard to this administration.
Right.
I mean, the whole Russian meddling thing is going to go up in smoke the minute that the entire Trump team comes in. It's just going to get disappeared. It's going to be Orwellian. It's going to be right down the memory hole.
Through the looking glass. And technically, they all are going to have to recuse themselves. So who knows how this is going to play out. And it looks like CNN is afraid of Trump. I mean, after the Wii story, it seems like it's disappearing.
Well, they are afraid of him. He told them they were going to suffer the consequences.
We ought to be telling Wii jokes every day and keep this front and center. I mean, not just for the humorous standpoint of it, just to keep it out there, you know?
Oh, make them own it. You know, Pea Party Republicans, that kind of thing.
Yeah, the GOP, you know?
Yeah, the POTUS.
The POTUS. Yeah, but it looks like CNN is. It looks like this story is being buried. Of course, you know, today the big thing was whether defunding Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act or however you want to word it. And that's troubling.
But I'm with you. I don't know if. I don't know if. I don't know, Steve. I'm sorry to be so vague, but I'm licked. I mean, is CNN afraid of him? Probably, because he is a vindictive, petty little tyrant.
Right, and all he's got to do is cut them off in news conferences and their daily briefings, and they're toast. Same thing they did to that old woman. I can't think of her name, but they used to ask her first question all the time until Bush came along. What was her name, Bob?
Helen Thomas.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. And they respected her until the Bush administration come along, and then she disappeared and died shortly after that.
Well, this would be if she hadn't, this would have been the end of her.
Oh, absolutely. You know, she was so old she could fart dust. She was getting ready to go anyhow. I'm not saying there's a conspiracy. Go ahead, Duncan.
She retired after Obama came into presidency. She covered him for a little bit.
Right, but, you know, she had to feel disrespected because she had always been getting first chair ever since I can remember. Hell, I'm going on 52 years old, you know.
Yeah, but she was ready to hang it up.
Yeah, and after Bush put her in the back row, you know, that was a deliberate smear, and she knew it was time to go.
It also didn't help matters that her agency that she worked for, United Press International, at some point along the way, was owned and operated by one of them. Sun Young Moon.
Yeah, it became Moon.
That paper, yeah.
A Mooney operation.
That didn't help.
We just keep getting more and more tangled up into this yarn shitball, and it's going to take a while before we can untangle this. And I'm an eternal optimist. I really think we'll do it, but we're going to take some lumps along the way. There's no question about it.
Oh, I'm not worried about lumps. Okay. I'm worried about the United States of America as a constitutional republic on an existential level.
Right. And it was like I was trying to explain last night. They can defund Obamacare, but as far as, you know, pre-existing conditions and keeping your kids on, that's law. That has nothing to do with funding. So we may be safe there, but these bastards, they're so devious. They'll figure out a way, you know.
Yeah, we're not, Steve, we're not safe.
Well, I'm just trying to throw a glimmer of hope out, Bob, you know.
I'm not jumping on you or anything, but
yeah.
Anything that can be done can be undone, and they are hell-bent on undoing. I mean, the Senate vote the other day was abundantly obvious. They put up an amendment saying pre-existing conditions, the pre-existing condition language, you know, shall not be touched. That amendment was defeated.
But that isn't that all tied into funding, though?
I mean, no, it's not. I mean, yeah, the procedural vote was relative to funding.
Right.
But the ability, the funding, how can I explain this? You can't enforce something you don't have the funds to enforce.
Yeah, can I weigh in, everybody?
Yeah, go, yeah, Rick.
Please do.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
Very good, Rick. How are you?
Surviving. Getting ready for the Trumpocalypse in a week from today, huh?
Yeah.
Seven days.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. But, you know, the thing is, you know, with regard to the Affordable Care Act, it's a very intricately designed package. And the only reason why the insurance companies went along with it is because it gives them more, you know, revenues, because people are required to purchase insurance. So you get rid of the individual mandate and there's no way to enforce it. And there's, you know, if you get rid of that, then people may not buy it in, you know, to the extent that they were before. And, you know, people won't be able to afford, a lot of people won't be able to afford it if the subsidies are taken away. So that's kind of like having a, you know, what, a four-legged stool, and you knock like two legs off of it, you know, it's not going to work so well. So, you know, this idea that you can preserve certain elements that you like, and you can get rid of things you don't like, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. I mean, that's why it took so long to design this thing, you know, back in, 2008, 2009. There were a lot of moving pieces, lots of legislation.
I hear you, because how are you going to fund it?
Yeah, you know, and exactly. And how are you going to make insurance companies not discriminate for pre-existing conditions if they're not going to be guaranteed new revenue streams?
Right, and in the
streams saying you got to cover these people.
And in the chat Sailor Chick just said, "What of expanded Medicaid? Bye bye."
Oh, yeah, that's a pipe dream for now.
Well, because what they want, part of their replace, is to replace the Medicaid expansion with block grants to the states.
Mm-hmm.
And block grants to the states mean that punk-ass governors like Scott Walker can say, now, because, you know, in the Affordable Care Act, that's where that 137% of the poverty level threshold comes in for the expanded Medicaid. For instance, let me call this up here. If you take somebody who made, you know, a single individual who made $14,000 last year, okay, under typical Confederate Medicaid, like Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, there's no way that person, and a single individual, no kids, just one person, there's no way that person can qualify for Medicaid. But with that 137% expanded Medicaid threshold and the elimination of means testing, then it becomes possible. That's where all those millions of people who have insurance now came from. Or a lot of those millions did. Because in the Confederacy, if you've got a cardboard box you live in and you make $10,000 a year, you ain't getting no Medicaid. Because their entire goal, their purpose is to make sure that people do not get Medicaid, because then they take those monies and they spend it on their political cronies. It's kind of like the housing thing that we talked about a couple of months back in Louisiana. Something like 90% of housing monies for the poor that are block granted to the states in Louisiana don't actually go, maybe it was temporary assistance to needy families. Yeah, it's TANF. It doesn't go to needy families. It goes to pet crony projects of the Republican state government. I mean, that's how it shook out under Piyush Jindal, and that's what they want to do with Medicaid. So there's not going to be, and the Medicaid expansion was meant to cover a gap group of people who were not making enough money to afford for-profit health care, but had up until that time been too wealthy to get Medicaid. And it insured a ton of people who wouldn't have otherwise had it. And that goes away.
Yeah, you know, Bob, this is Jules. Indiana was one of the few Republican states that actually, believe it or not, Pence the Putz, who I so deeply despise, he actually bought into the Medicaid expansion. Can you believe that?
Well, Jules, he's an evangelical theocrat, but he's also, remember, what was considered to be at one point in time an old line Republican. I mean, there was a time during the Bush administration when he was talked about as a suitable successor to run for president after George W. Bush. And so, yeah, he took, as a Republican governor, he took the free money.
But you know what? If I may share, surprisingly, Indiana's Medicaid, he did something a little bit different. He did a cost-sharing program.
Right. He got a waiver for that. I think Arkansas did the same thing.
Yes. He did. He got a waiver to have a cost-sharing program. And that sounds absurd, and it sounds ridiculous, and it sounds like it's a punishment, kind of, doesn't it?
Well, it's designed to keep people off of it.
Yeah, but you know what? It got a lot more folks on than what you'd think.
Oh, I have no doubt. I mean, people with no alternative will take an alternative, right?
I'm not trying to give the man any credit because I hate the motherfucker. I said something to someone, and I cannot believe these words came out of my mouth earlier today in the wee morning hours. I said, you know, I'd just as soon kick the man's teeth out. And I cannot believe those words came out of my mouth, to be honest with you, because I don't think I've ever said anything quite that violent in my life. But
that runs entirely against the grain of your kumbaya nature, right?
Oh, good Lord, does it ever! Because of his fucking religious beliefs. But the cost sharing. My son, who's a college student, pays, I think it's $4 a month for his cost share, and he has like a $3 copay for his prescriptions. He doesn't have any kind of copay for his doctor's visits. He has two dental cleanings a year, and if he has any kind of emergency dental services that he needs, fillings, you know, whatever, I don't know what kind of emergency dental stuff needs to be done to people, because none of us have ever had to have that stuff done. And he also has vision. He can have an eye exam a year, and if he needs glasses, it's one pair of glasses every 3 to 5 years, unless you have a vision change in between then. Indiana actually has dental and vision on their Medicaid. I think we're one of the few states that does.
Depending on who you are, it's on the Medicaid here, too.
And if you are a regular Medicaid person, or if you are in the Tier 1, if you're in the Tier 2, it depends on if you opt into it or not. But most of the Medicaid recipients in the state have dental and vision, and it's unusual for most states to carry that. And we actually have pretty good services. Most people have access to doctors, and for the most part, that works out pretty good.
But there's another thing tucked away in behind all this, Jules, and that's this. Despite the fact that the clinic that I go to has people in it who routinely have fulminated against the Affordable Care Act, and have staffers who talk about, you know, the still president being a Kenyan Muslim with deep-seated sympathies for homosexuals, and might be homosexual himself.
Mm-hmm.
That clinic exists in large part, as do many rural health care facilities in West Virginia, specifically because of the Affordable Care Act and the support that it offers rural health care clinics.
Now, see, a problem that you have in West Virginia, which I'm very familiar with, your situation in West Virginia, you have doc-in-the-box issues, where you have doctors that are, you have a very big preponderance of PAs and NPs that aren't being very closely followed by.
That's the absolute truth. But I also was fortunate enough that I looked up and said, "Look, I want an MD." And there's an MD who's in there. He works out of a clinic in Somersville, but the one day a month, he sees patients in this office.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to see an MD. But yeah, we're covered up. We're covered up in nurse practitioners and physician's assistants, and that's not to take anything away from those practitioners, but it's not the same thing as an MD.
And they really should work more closely with.
They should be much more closely monitored. But in fact, we had a bill last year through the legislature that would allow nurse practitioners to work independent of any oversight by a physician. And I, for one, you know, because of my cholesterol and lipids issues, and I referred to her as a not a doctor. I had a not a doctor damn near poison me. And the only reason that she didn't is because I caught it, not her.
Mm-hmm. Well, doctors in general, they're not pharmacists. And you can expect your physician, no matter who they are, to be a pharmacist and to catch some of these nuances in medications and interactions, etc. I mean, that's just not what they do. That's what your pharmacist is supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, note coming in from Steve in China, symbols/substance in the subject line. Without mandatory coverage guarantees and the pool of healthy purchasers, pre-existing conditions is code for life. We all have a pre-existing condition straight from the womb. Health insurance, like public education, is not a moneymaker. Liberty is not a shiny gold coin, for that matter. Exactly, and I didn't get around to mentioning when I was talking about the gold coin that there's a certain amount of, oh, no, you didn't, about putting a black woman's face on a gold coin in the United States. Just like there was a certain amount of insult, I suppose, is the right term, in putting Sacagawea's face on an American coin. I mean, really? We're going to commemorate a heroic Native American female by putting her on a coin of the government of the country that genocided her people. Cool. So that, I mean, that issue is there as well. But what Steve says is very much true. None of this can work. The only way any healthcare scheme can work that covers that's supposed to cover everybody is by covering everybody. I mean, the only way, and I'm sure there are some purity ponies out there who are saying, yeah, now Donald Trump, one time, you know what? One time Donald Trump said he liked universal single payer healthcare. That's what we're going to get now. Yeah. Only we're not. We're going to get nothing.
Well, you know, you did see where Trump was going off on one of his little antsies where he was going around and about with his usual infantile chatter about it's going to be repealed and replaced within the month. No, well, within probably the week, simultaneously within probably the week, it's going to be repealed and replaced. And well, actually, simultaneously, probably within the hour, we're going to repeal and replace probably simultaneously within the same hour, and you know, well, we know exactly why they wanted to repeal it in the first place. How many times did they go to vote for it and waste our money? Waste the taxpayers' money during the last 6 years. How many times? 5 years. How many times?
Something like 56 or 57.
56, 57, 54, 55, 56, 57. How many was it?
High 50s, yeah.
Yeah. I saw today it was either 56 or 57.
Yeah. Why did they do this? Why exactly was that?
Well, it's the...
Because
the
black man...
Because he's a black man. They couldn't have a black man on the face of the Affordable Care Act.
It's even more basic than that. A lot of these people, Trump voters especially, but a lot of these people, when you get down to the very, very bottom line root cause, they have a mindset, an attitude, a way of showing up in the world, which is not unlike that of your typical two-year-old. And that is, I don't want to, and you can't make me.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, the idea that they can come up with a replacement is just a total joke. I mean, people forget that they had 6 years to come up with a viable alternative while they ruled the House, like from, the beginning of 2011 until now. And they haven't come up with jack shit. I mean,
they didn't want to.
Here's the silver.
It was a campaign slogan, and as long as they were in the opposition, they knew that it had no chance of ever being repealed because it would be vetoed by the president, and there's no way they could override the veto.
Well, and there's a larger question here of a historic nature, and that is this: do we all remember that what turned into the Affordable Care Act in the first place was a theoretical plan by the Heritage Foundation? I mean, it's not like some liberal commie think tank out there came up with this. This is a plan that was put together originally by the Heritage Foundation as a means of providing a corporate welfare sops to the for-profit healthcare industry or health insurance industry, for Christ's sake.
Build yourself a cowbell, Bob. You nailed it. Give yourself a cowbell.
One jingle.
It was touted as the alternative to single payer that Clinton introduced in the early 90s, like in 93, 94.
Right, and wasn't it also a centerpiece of Bob Dole's plan for health care?
Yeah, I think it was.
And here's the silver lining, boys and girls. Just as in 2009, 2010, when it was being hammered out how to proceed in terms of the Affordable Care Act, the Republicans did not lift a finger. They did not offer a single vote in favor of the plan that we ultimately got. The message there was, this is a Democratic plan. We were totally hands off. They own it. Okay? Now, the proverbial shoe is on the other proverbial foot. Now, anything that they do or don't do in terms of any future incarnation for health care in this country is on them. I mean,
okay, here, let me go way out on a limb and maybe huff a little nitrous oxide or something along the way and ask something really dumb. There seems to be consensus in our little mm-hmm. group here that A, the Affordable Care Act started mm-hmm. out as a Republican plan, because that's historically true. B, the Republicans have no plan with which to replace it. C, they're hating something that was their plan in the first place. What if they...
No, they're hating the fact that it has a black man's name on it.
Well, but they put it on there. That's, it's not, you know, I agree, but... So what happens, because nothing makes sense, everything's crazy, up is down, left is right, backwards is forwards, no is yes, you know, it's everything's out the window. You know, we live in a post-fact world, as we've been told. What if these stupid bastards realize that this is the most capitalist means that they have? What if they repeal it, give it a new name, and pass it again?
What do you think they're going to do?
I was just thinking that, Bob. I was just thinking that very thing not 3 minutes ago.
And then it'll become, and then they will declare the day of Jubilee, haul out the trumpets, blow hallelujah, and call it Trump Care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, are you trying to say that they're going to repeal it and replace it with the same thing?
Well, of course.
They're going to poke at it and say, oh, we did nothing, but we're going to give it a new name because we don't like it being called Obamacare.
There'll be some tweaks. One of the tweaks will be to remove the. Assuming they do this, I'm not completely on board. I'm just asking the question here, not saying, just saying. They'll remove the mandatory aspect, you know, with the penalty and everything, which was kind of meaningless in the first place because anybody subjected to the IRS penalty could apply for a waiver, and if you proved that you did not have sufficient means to pay the fucking penalty or the insurance, well, you don't got to pay neither one. Okay? That's reality. So they'll tweak it by taking out the penalty, which will then of course cause the entire scheme to collapse.
Right, because you'll have free riders who'll just keep going to the emergency rooms. I posted a link, an article by Norm Ornstein. He's actually a pretty good, he's a pretty good thinker, even though he like works at the American Enterprise Institute. He's actually not like, you know, he's not like, he's somewhat conservative, but he's sensible. And he wrote an article for the New York Daily News called Why the GOP is Unlikely to Come Up with a Better Alternative to Obamacare. And he basically talks about the whole, you know, gives a kind of an update as to, you know, it kind of gives you a course in health insurance 101, healthcare 101, and, you know, what plans have to do, what Obamacare did, et cetera, what the alternatives are. And he ends his article by saying, or we will see how adeptly congressional Republicans and the president-elect can sell their base on replacing Obamacare with Obamacare. So they'll just change the name.
I'm not alone out here on this little branch.
No, not at all.
No, I've been this is what
Hey and Tracy, I keep seeing you lighten up. What's going on up there on your white computer?
Not a whole hell of a lot. I just got home and. Was arguing on my way home, or not arguing with AT&T, but see, I have such an old data plan because I'm grandfathered into the, unlimited data, but my son's line isn't. So, and we seem to keep going over our minutes. I don't know why. Oh, I know why, because I call the program on my cell phone while I'm driving. So I told him, well, I'll just cancel it and just do something else, because the only way to get unlimited data now is to get DirecTV. I can't get DirecTV because they don't have the Dodgers or the Lakers. So even if I wanted to get DirecTV, Jan would cut me and watch me bleed because, you know, Dodgers and the Lakers. So back and forth, they sent me to another department because I know if you bitch enough, you get what you want. So they decreased this, increased that. So I'm now paying an extra $10 a month to double my voice plan because I had 700 minutes per month that was shared, and now we have 1,400 minutes for extra $10 a month because, you know, I'm going to get what I want. Because, like I said, unless you want to get DirecTV, you cannot get unlimited data, and I'm not about to give up my unlimited data. Not going to happen.
And no. If your plan is anything like my data plan, Tracy, that probably will include rollover minutes.
Yes.
So that the minutes you don't use this month roll over to the following month and so on down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a bad deal.
No. And so they're like, well, how long you been? You know, they look back on I've had a phone with AT&T since 1984. My current home number I've had since 1994. I'm like, you guys really, seriously, come on. I'm the epitome of loyalty. Do something. Because I will just cancel and go to Sprint, which I don't really want to do, but, you know, it's cheaper than what I'm paying now. Because my cell phone bill is ridiculously high, but again, now that more people are offering unlimited data, I'm actually thinking about leaving AT&T, but I don't know.
Well, you have to dig deep into those unlimited data plans to make sure that there's not a throttle past a certain amount of data.
Yeah, see, they try to, like, when I get, every so often I get text messages from AT&T, because what's the funny part is, for the first, I've had this unlimited data plan since 2009, and I was at the most maybe using 2, maybe 3 gigs a month in data, and every so often when I would call AT&T about another issue, they were like, well, Ms. Porter, you're really not using, you know, that much, you know, data. You ought to just change it to this plan. And a couple of times I'm almost considering it because it would save me, you know, $20 a month. But I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to leave it alone. And thank God I did, because, see, back then I didn't have an iPhone 7. And so I'm watching Netflix all the time. I'm watching Hulu all the time. And every so often I'll get a text message call saying, well, we might have to slow down your data. And then I call them and say, you're not slowing down my data. Because when I had my plan, there was no such thing as slowing down my data. So that's another reason why you're right. Even though they have unlimited data, they can slow you down from whatever, you know, 5G light to like LTE to, you know.
5G? Wait a minute. You've got 5G out there?
Yes.
No, not yet. They're,
well, it's 5 something. I have, what is the saying on my, it's LTE something. It's 5. I have 5 LTE on AT&T.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I wonder if we'll get it down here.
Well, you just lost your football team.
All right.
I'm sorry. You know, it's so funny. How many years have we had no football?
Now you got two.
Now we have two.
Well,
the funny thing is,
of course, now one of those teams is the Chargers, Tracy, and they are not what you would call a stellar performing team.
No, but Greg's got to be pissed down there.
Rat's ass about football, right? The only thing I care about is the fact that it's going to increase my revenue for driving cabs, if you know, because my cab company is the only cab company that services Inglewood by the time they open the stadium. So I can give a flying fluck over to the fact that it's going to make me money.
Well, yeah, I mean, have fun with them, because we I've watched on the news here locally in the last couple of days since they made the big announcement. Oh, the Chargers fans, the diehard fans are up in arms. And they went,
both
some
of them.
Went so, no, no, seriously. Some of them went so far to go all the way up to the Chargers office. And one guy took a dozen eggs and egged the building. And then yesterday, another guy, a group of people, took all of their team gear, you know, jerseys and shit, and held a bonfire in the Chargers parking lot.
Oh, geez.
I love it.
Well, you know,
But we'll see before long, probably.
Well, and as usual with the guy who went and threw the eggs, being as how it was the Chargers, there was no one there to catch them.
Ooh. Right, exactly. Right. Ding, 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 right. ding. But
well, you know, the interesting thing about the thing with the Chargers is you guys had a vote this past election to, you know, build a new stadium in San Diego, and it lost by something like 58-42. Yeah. And L.A. doesn't want them either because only, I guess, 24% of Angelenos want the Chargers. I mean, I happen to be one of those minority because I actually like the Chargers a lot better than I like the Lambs. I always found the Lambs to be very boring, you know. And, you know, we used to get the two best football games every week because we had no professional team in the L.A. area. Now we're going to have to watch the Lambs and the, you know, the Dolts, I guess.
Well, the thing about it, the guy who owns the Chargers is a guy named Dean Spanos.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he hasn't owned it the whole time they've been here, but he's owned it for a good chunk of time. Basically, what the voters did back in November on this stadium proposal, when they shot that down in glorious flames, is basically Dean saw the handwriting on the wall and saw that the sugar tit, that here in San Diego that he'd been furiously sucking on for however many years he's owned the team wasn't given anymore in terms of milk or money in this case.
Yeah, but his father owned the team before him.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that I find ironic about San Diego voters, Scott, is maybe 10 years ago or so, they voted against a tax increase to better fund their fire services and protective services. And don't you know, they voted it down, and like 2 years later or so, they had the biggest fire in San Diego County history.
Oh, yeah. Remember that. 2003, yeah. I yeah. remember that.
Yeah.
And so we can like, kind of file all of this under first world problems, not the least of which, I mean, with all the bandwidth talk and everything, you know, I maintain backup bandwidth here that's metered through my cellular provider. It's, you know, one of the bills we pay every month. And by the way, thanks to Charlie. Charlie jumped in to meet part of Mike in Cascadia's challenge. We got $5 to go on that challenge, and that will mean that we've got $150 to go in fundraising for the evening. So hopefully folks will jump in so we can finish 2 weeks in a row with, you know, fundraising completed and not have a deficit come Moran Monday. I know some people have said they've been hard time getting it. You need to clear your caches out because there's been, you know, John's been doing a ton of work on the website and it's back up. It's running. It looks really cool. And there's a new interface for PayPal there. So if you had it bookmarked, it probably doesn't work anymore. But if you go to headonradionetwork.com and you click on contribute, you're right there. So hopefully,
what's happened?
Pardon?
My bookmark didn't work today, and I was going, "What the hell?"
Yeah, and so we're trying to get a match-a-lanch going just to finish off fundraising this evening.
Okay. So I'm sorry, Bob.
Well, no, I was just going to finish up by saying that. No. So I get great speed off of the tower from my cellular provider. You know, I get like 30 down and 15 up, which for when I, you know, when I shut everything down and have to and go to upload the program to White Rose and Podbean and all of that, it happens about 2 minutes. If I have to use the regular bandwidth that we have here, courtesy of Frontier, it takes about 30 minutes. Here's where the fun part kicks in. So I had this router, you know, two little antennas sticking up, and that's what brought in, you know, the signal. And it brought it in better than, say, using your phone as a hotspot. And you could run an Ethernet cable from the router to the computer. It died. You know, it had a SIM card in it and everything. It died. It's dead. Pining for the fjords. And they don't have a replacement. They just straight up do not have a replacement unit. The only alternative is to get a different router that is like home phone internet with voice that's got a little, what is it, an RJ15, RJ11, I forget, you know, a phone jack, and then it's got one jack for an Ethernet cable. And you wind up paying extra for the router and for the extra phone line, which I don't need. And it's really, really frustrating because I'm back to, well, like when the program ends this evening, I'll have to shut everything down. I'll upload the file to White Rose, and it'll take 30 minutes. And it'll take another 30 minutes to upload it to Podbean. So that's an hour. And it's a pisser. And it's first world problems.
Bob, what do you need?
Well, I need a router from the provider with a SIM card in it. So it'll bring down, you know, it'll bring down their wireless internet.
Uh-huh.
And they ain't got one anymore. They say they got one coming, but it's not available for purchase yet.
Is that one of those Home Connect boxes that has the phone line and the RJ45 for the Ethernet?
Well, that's what they're trying to get me to take now, but it's only got one port for Ethernet on it. And that's really not what I need. And I don't need another phone line. This was just a straight up router that I had before. Who made it? It wasn't D-Link. Help me here. Another brand. Netgear. It was a Netgear.
Uh-huh.
And it just died. I mean, I've had it for 2.5 years. Dead.
Huh.
And it's really frustrating.
So you're wanting a router to connect directly to the cell towers.
Well, I mean, it brings in the wireless internet.
Yeah.
It doesn't come in on a wire. It brings that in, but I can connect I can connect an Ethernet cable to the computer.
Yeah.
Because it's not quite the same to do it wirelessly.
Yeah.
And their wireless hotspots are crap anyway. And you don't get the speed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. One other thing that you were talking about not being able to get, I guess it's lisinopril and metformin.
Yeah, those are the two that I definitely have to have. And I can get those for $10 a pop.
Well, you got to remember the medical profession is, I mean, they intentionally license the medical profession where you've got to go pay a doctor a king's ransom for any drug that you need.
In my case, you know, if I'm private pay, it's like $50 a visit.
Unless you have a lab done. If the doctor wants a lab done and you don't have
insurance. Oh, no, if the doctor wants the lab done, then I have to wait until cheap blood work Tuesday.
Yeah,
and then it's another $50.
The last time I had any blood work done, it was $1,000, and then I wound up paying $100 of it.
Well, at least with this clinic, they've got one Tuesday a month where you can get things like a CBC, a lipids panel, you know, the usual suspects for $40 or $50 or something like that. But
well, doctor I'm going to, she tested me to make sure that if I was still producing insulin, she wanted to find out if I was a type 1 or type 2, if I had reached type 1 yet, and I haven't. And that was one of the most expensive things on there. I don't understand why, but it was.
Oh, that's brutal. But it's going to be a lot more so once the Republicans get done with us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my copay jumped from $15 to go see a doctor. Now I got to pay $35.
And it doesn't have to. Do you ever wonder where the copay goes?
I've wondered, but I mean, it probably goes to either the doctor or the insurance company. I don't know.
The copay goes to the doctor. It's strictly there to meant to be a punishment to you to make sure that you do not overuse going to the doctor. But the insurance company doesn't collect it. It's basically there just to be an anchor to keep you from using more insurance.
Yeah.
So that's what it's for. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that's what your company has contracted with your insurance company. That's between your company and your insurance company.
Yeah.
The company that you work for in your insurance company, that has nothing to do with government.
No, but I'm sure that it's, you know, whenever the Republicans get a hold of everything, it's going to migrate over to people that are on assistance for, you know, hospital care and doctor care and stuff like that.
In Illinois, if you saw a doctor for any reason at all under Medicaid, was a $4.90 copay. You were allowed four medications to be paid by insurance. If you had more than four, you're out of luck.
Back when I used to work, back in the dark ages when I had a union job, I had no copay to see the doctor. My copay for my medication was $2. And it didn't matter how many prescriptions I had filled. When I had Alex, my total bill was zero. And I stayed in the hospital for 2 days. And yeah, see, and then they talk about we don't want unions anymore.
That's kind of a short stay for having a baby, isn't it?
Actually, it's more than what it is now. Most people, what, 12 hours, they kick you out after having a baby. I don't know. Too many of my people, I'm so old, you know, my uterus if sperm ever hit my eggs again, which we won't know, that won't happen ever again, it would turn into dust. But but yeah, no.
Good one, Tracy.
The last person, how long was, what's her name in the hospital, baby, after she had the baby? Like 12 hours, 14 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah, 14 hours, and they kick you out.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
What about me?
Well, my wife, well, see, the thing is, Jan had a hip replacement, and she was in the hospital for, what, one day?
Did the surgery Monday at noon. I was walking at noon.
Yep.
Wednesday, they threw me out.
She was out, so she had the surgery on Monday. They had her walk in on Tuesday. Wednesday, they threw her out after hip replacement. And let me tell you, taking care of somebody that's only been in the hospital for a day after having hip replacement surgery is no fucking joke.
Yeah.
Well, what happens if you're going home to nobody?
Right. See, at least, well, if you ask Jan, she, according to her, she was going home to nobody because I did a piss poor job of taking care of her, and she's sitting right here laughing.
All right. So we're not going. So we're not going to have a marital squabble on the air. I just want to make that clear. Okay.
No, she's laughing at me. She's cracking up. If you don't hear,
hi Jan.
You don't hear that cackling in the background. That would be Jan. So, yeah, no, it's ridiculous. I mean, yes, I live in California. I'm wondering, you know, with all the stuff that's happening with the Affordable Care Act, when do you think the rubes are going to realize that Obamacare is the Affordable Care Act? What's going to happen for my learned people here out of here in California? What's going to happen to us with now that the Republicans are just getting rid of everything?
Don't know.
We'll keep bring California One Care back again.
Right. So I'm covered.
That was the next thing I was going to point out. In a state like California, it's not going the killing the Affordable Care Act is going to have an impact. But for poor people and the working poor, it's not going to have nearly as much of a negative impact as say it will here.
We were only two votes shy of passing single-payer health care in California the last time it came up. You know, it was right at the beginning when Jerry Brown came into office.
Oh, yeah. By the way, unpaid product placement real quick. Because I got to, you know, Larry is with us this evening. Hi, Larry. So at my Kroger's, I love kimchi, and I found an awesome brand of prepackaged kimchi because, well, just not up to making my own. King's brand kimchi, spicy, from King's Asian Gourmet of San Francisco, California, and wow, is it good! I mean, it's funky, and it's fermenting when you open it. I mean, it fizzes like a can of pop, and it's fiery.
I've seen their ads.
Yeah, they have ads.
Funkier than Russian hooker pee.
Oh,
wait a minute. For the effort, Scott. For the effort.
Okay.
I wonder if Donald's going to come up with a new product called Golden Shower, like a shampoo called Golden Shower Don.
No. Wow. How about Trump's Trump brand Golden Champagne?
There you go.
I thank you for you. I don't know because I didn't listen to the whole show last night. But I think you, Laurel, gave you something that you kind of glanced over about. Of Trump liking, why did he should have liked Hillary because she was a Goldwater girl?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah, I blew right past that. That just dawned on me. Wait a minute. That was great.
Yes, and you it blew right. I'm like, wait, no. And I was driving, so I couldn't type.
I can't catch them all, but that's good. Goldwater. Oh my God.
That's deserving of a retroactive cowbell.
We're gonna grandfather a cowbell for that one. Yeah, Goldwater girl.
Grandfather a cowbell on that for Laurel, because that was a good one. I said, wait, he missed that. I was like, oh. Let's get out of here and start listening.
And you know damn well that that's the least perverted thing he probably did with those prostitutes. There's probably all sorts of other stuff we don't know about yet.
Remember it. Well, like I said, Rick, it's not just Moscow. It's Moscow and St. Petersburg.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. I wonder if those hookers have friends who have held on to the yellow sheets and have kept them under the bed.
You mean a Lewinsky?
Yeah. Clinton had the blue dress. How long before they trot out Trump's yellow sheets?
Well, unless it... It would have to have junk on it, Scott, for it to be worth anything, okay?
I'm sorry, I missed it. What?
It would have to have his junk on it for the sheets to be worth anything. Just the pee is not going to cut it.
Yeah, because the pee, DNA from the pee, right?
I don't know if you can. I'm not really sure. We need snorkel.
Once again, Friday on the front porch descends into the toilet. But
anyway,
Snorkel.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was looking away for a second. What was the question?
About DNA pee.
Can you get DNA out of urine?
There's white blood cells in it.
There are cells in this. Sorry.
Yeah, there should be some epithelial losses that would be in there. You should have some. But, geez, is the golden showers come after the mud wrestling?
Well, you know, but it occurred to me we're making certain assumptions here. We're making assumptions that it's golden and not orange.
Oh.
Well, I posted.
We'll never be able to recover now.
I posted on my Facebook the other day. Donald Trump is the color of asparagus pea. Now we know why.
You know, I know why the guy's orange. He's got Addison's disease like JFK had. Because JFK had that unnatural color. Trump has the same sort of coloration to some extent. I bet he's got Addison's. He's got a deficiency of cortisol in his system. He's probably got bad adrenal glands.
What's going on around his eyes?
I know what cortisol deficiency is, honey. I have it, so no.
It can cause discoloration of your skin, actually. That's one of the symptoms.
Yes, it's not that color of discoloration, honey.
Well, Kennedy had it, though.
Yeah, it's
he always
not
had an unnatural tan. Kind of like Trump. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not that color of tan.
Okay.
Trump has something going on with his skin that's not right.
Okay.
But, no, it's not that color.
They had me on some diabetic medication one time, and I got... chemically induced hepatitis.
OMG.
Yeah, that is...
Huh?
Go ahead, Charles, sorry.
Basically, the only way to treat it is hope and pray to God it's not been around long enough to damage anything. You just discontinue the medication that's got your liver in a tizzy.
That's a Republican's health care plan. Hope and prayers. You know?
They don't pray.
No, I know. Well, they pray to the evil one. Mephistopheles, right?
Yeah, Beelzebub. It's so funny. Yeah. I called Kimba. She was acting out the other day, and I called her Beelzebub. And Jan's like, Beelzebub? And I'm like, oh. I said, that's just yet another name for the devil.
Yeah. I've got a question. I've got a question for the group, if that's all right.
Go.
No.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, it's fine.
You got one question, Scott. One question only, okay?
Well, it's a two-part question. Part one is how many people are here in the chat room today? And
right, right now, 12.
All right. Part two is, since the new Congress was launched back on, I guess, the 2nd or 3rd of January, how many of us have written to our two senators, our one congressperson, or senators who are on any of the committees who are conducting these hearings for the Trump nominees?
Being Canadian, I must abstain.
Kamala Harris, and I don't even give a damn if he finds it. I might as well be writing to, you know, my ghost twin.
I think we still have to do it. And I think we have to do it even if we're in states with, you know, goddamn Trumpansy senators and House of Representatives members. Because, you know, there's a better than 50-50 chance you're going to be dealing with that because they're in the majority.
Well, here in Georgia, Stan, I might as well be writing a letter to Cletus.
Yeah.
Cletus is such a good puppy. And thanks for helping out, Cletus. We finished with Mike's challenge, and now the match-a-lanch moves forward, and let's see. So that means there's another $15 to go on the next $25 of the match-a-lanch.
Written and called state and federal.
By the way, Tracy, are you represented by Brad Sherman or? Brad Sherman. Yeah, I don't know what he is. You know, I think he's a standard, whatever you would call a Democratic liberal these days.
Yeah, I called his local office about the appointments. I've written, I've called, I've, there was actually an app, or was it an app, or there was something I did online when all this stuff started. Hold on, closing the door to my office. I have an office. It's so nice I can close the door. And you put in your zip code and came up with your state, your locals, you know, and all that. So I've been writing letters. I've been sending emails. I've been calling. But Brad Sherman, I actually went to his office a while ago and actually talked to one of his reps because again, I'm going to be that person that's going to be like, I wanted to get to the point of my annoyance level as like whenever I call, I can feel the eye roll over the phone to say, oh God, she's calling again. Because I mean, being from California and almost of our representatives, of course, our two senators are Democrats. You know, we take for granted that, you know, they're going to do the right thing. But that doesn't guarantee that they are, just because they're Democrats, except for Kamala Harris. I think Kamala Harris is going to be a badass because she's a badass attorney general. I'm actually sad to see her leave as AG for California because, as a matter of fact, I had issues with DirecTV. I contacted her office not long after she was elected, and within a few weeks, it was resolved, and I got my money back from DirecTV.
Well, there's a new California Attorney General, Javier Becerra, who was appointed by Governor Brown to serve out the remaining part of Kamala's term, and he's a badass too. So, you know, we're in good hands. I mean, we're very fortunate. But I was, you know, I noticed that there was a amendment that was voted down, and 13 Senate Democrats voted the wrong way on it. It was to allow importation of prescription drugs from Canada. And the Senate Democrats have voted against that. This was sponsored by Bernie and I think Elizabeth Warren, I think. So it might have been those two. And Michael Bennett of Colorado, Bob Menendez, and Cory Booker, both from New Jersey, which is a big pharma state. Maria Patty Murray from Washington. Tom Carper and Chris Coons voted against it. Bob Casey from Pennsylvania, Joe Donnelly of Indiana, Martin Heinrich and Heidi Heitkamp, John Tester and of Montana, and Mark Warner of Virginia. So
it's about the money.
Republicans
it's
that voted for
about
it.
About the money. Yeah. It's about the money.
Of course
money.
It is. Of course
right.
It
and
is.
They, oh, and let's remember, they when they were called on it, they hid behind the fig leaf of saying, well, you know, we just wanted to make sure that drugs imported from other countries are safe. Because, you know, Ron can vouch for the fact, and Asa can too, that, I mean, you go to the drugstore in Canada and, you know, you're trying to get one of those azithromycin Z-packs, and you come home and you've just got the brown acid.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, you know, one thing that former Minnesota governor, Tim Pawlenty, Republican, said that his response when people, you know, said, well, you know, we can't allow importation because we don't know if it's going to be, you know, manufactured by the same rigorous standards as, you know, the U.S. requires. He would always say, well, geez, you know, where are all the dead Canadians there if you know, if it's not safe to import drugs from Canada, you know?
It's Canada, for Christ's sakes.
It's the same drug.
Truth be told, it's coming.
Lawrence O'Donnell did a story on his Facebook Live last night. It's the same exact drug.
It's coming out of the same barrel. The reason they
can't get away with it in Canada, they can't jack up the price in Canada like they can in the United States.
So the
United States is a cash cow. It's the only place they can get the money.
It's coming from the same barrel, you know.
Right.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let's bear in mind, Cory Booker voted against it, and of course he burnished his 2020 credentials with his testimony against Jefferson Davis, Beauregard, Sessions, the Hood, the other day, and then turned around and did this. He has received the third highest amount of donations from Big Pharma of any member of the Senate. He has received $267,000. Well, $267,338.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, 12 Republicans, including crazy-ass Ted Cruz, voted for the amendment.
And this is a very instructive thing. If you look at who voted for it and who opposed it, it seems to me that it could... And I'm not saying this will be across the board, but it could be that it's the shape of things to come in the sense that everybody got the message that came out of this last election. And the message was, boys and girls, either shit or get off the pot. Okay? And people are out there, people are listening, to the extent that people are engaged in letting people know that we're watching them, okay, and that they can't get away with it, or we'll make it difficult if they try to, then we might see some shift in and provide ourselves some good outcome.
Well, let's take a look at the references.
I was just going to point out that I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but my son just took over the post of the director of health of this crisis drug claim.
Let's take a look at some of those prices then. Here's what was at stake. If you want an M in the United States, you're going to have to pay Joe Manchin's daughter Heather, who got a fake, dummied up, frauded up, rubed up master's degree from West Virginia University. You're going to have to pay Heather Bresch $620. In Canada, you're going to pay $290. $290.
Okay, not that cheap.
If like me, you're on Crestor, that's $730 a month in the United States. It's $160 a month in Canada.
But if you were to break down the chemicals of how much it costs to make this stuff,
pennies,
it would be about
pennies,
$1.
Pennies,
exactly.
If you are a woman on hormone replacement therapy, postmenopausally, or for any other reason for that matter, or if you're a trans person, Premarin, an estrogen pill, is $421 a month in the United States. It's $84 a month in Canada. If you are on Abilify for depression, you're going to shell out $2,626 a month in the United States and $436 in Canada. I mean, if you're paying cash, no. I mean, if you're a Canadian, you're not paying shit.
Right. You may have a small copay at the pharmacy. The most I've ever had, I think, was $17 for something listed as $585.
Let's see. Zetia for high cholesterol, $840 U.S., $183 Canada. Nexium, $736 U.S., $214 Canada. Synthroid, $101 U.S., $50 Canada. Januvia for diabetes, $1,064 U.S., $255 Canada. Celebrex for arthritis, $895 U.S., $212 in Canada. And Advair for asthma and COPD, $980 in the U.S. and $212 in Canada.
Now, I have a friend who is on Advair, and he just picked up his latest prescription, and it was under $10 for 90 days.
Right.
Okay. Hey, Bob.
Because civilization. Yes, Scott.
It's worth noting that prior to the introduction of Medicare Part D, D like David, for the cost of medicines for people on Medicare, and prior to the introduction of Affordable Care Act, there was a thing, and there may still be a thing, known as the indigent patient pharmacy program, or words to that effect, where the drug companies, if you didn't have insurance or were in pretty bad condition financially, that if you got a note from your doctor and the doctor filled out their form, they would provide you with some of these high-cost medicines for free. And I think that program survives. You ever watch these commercials for these cutting-edge medicines? And
oh, yeah.
There's a tag, if you can't afford this medicine, name of pharmaceutical company may be able to help. I think that's how that program is done now. And I was in that very position in the early 2000s before Medicare Part D and before I got better health care, you know, than I've got back before I had the health care that I have now. And that is on this one medicine that I have to take. It was a horrendous amount of money that if I didn't have the money, and I asked my doctor, and he said, well, fill out this form, or your part of it, I'll fill out the other part of it, send it to the company, and every month they'll give you a free supply of your medicine with no cost. So that might be worthwhile to pursue if worse comes to worse, and you just can't afford medicines that you need.
That's true. That's very
because
true.
These companies will get a tax break it costs them to do something, and they can claim whatever it is that they say it costs them, but they get a tax break for doing that. So they're not losing anything by participating in that program.
And if it's a new med, a lot of these you can do online. You don't even have to bother your doctor. You know, he writes you the script. You go online, you get together with the pharmacist, and it could all be handled streamlined right there.
Mm-hmm. I am on immunosuppressives, essentially. They're biologics because of I have MCTD, mixed connective tissue disorder. My primary response is from rheumatoid arthritis. And these are extremely expensive medications. Two injections. Yeah, two injections, about $3,000 a month.
Yep.
My medication list runs between $8,000 to $10,000 a month.
Wow.
Oh, my insurance company loves me.
I bet.
Yeah, they love me. An example, Embril, which is one of these medications, $3,000 in the United States, $1,600 in Canada, $1,300 in Spain, $15 in the Netherlands, $11 in the UK.
And it's the same medication. That's insane.
Exactly. Well, here's a story coming out of Australia, courtesy of Robert. Here in Australia, the manufacturers of Nurofen will be fined $6 million for misleading consumers. Earlier this year, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission won its case against the pharmaceutical giant Reckitt Benckiser over the company's specific pain range. The federal court found the products were misleading because they all contained the same active ingredient and did the same thing. Robert says, I used to stand and look at all these variations on Nurofen and wonder how the drug knew only to go to one part of your body. Apparently, the ACCC thought the same thing. But it is all the same drugs. And Marty points out, not only show us all those dead Canadians, but I want an explanation to the Canadian government and people by the pharmaceutical industry why they're selling them substandard drugs. Because that's what they're admitting. When Cory Booker says we want to make sure the drugs are safe, what he's saying is that the people who gave him the $262,000 have told him that they're sending substandard drugs to Canada.
Yeah, and I'm the Queen of England, Bob. Come on.
Ooh, speaking of queens, wait a minute. I have to tell you, remember how you were talking about yes, queen?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, queen.
Yes. Why? Because I don't know what day it was a couple of days ago. Jan, we have all these TVs going in the house. Jan was watching something. It was a commercial for Jeopardy. And they were talking about, you know, how they talk about what's going on in the next show coming up. Alex Trebek said, yes, queen. So whatever it is, there was a category of... There was an answer about it on Jeopardy, just to let you know.
I wonder if it's from that movie, pardon me, from the 90s, I guess it was, like Priscilla, the Queen of the Desert, or there was another one where I think Wesley Snipes was in it.
To Wong Fu, Whitlow, yeah. Julie Newmar.
Yeah, there were a couple of movies dealing with drag people. I had a drag queen friend in D.C. years ago. Her deal was Miss Thang. Whenever somebody would walk in the room, he would announce their presence by saying Miss Thang. And I'm sure he got that from a movie.
When Bob asked me about yes, queen, that does sound like something that a gay man would say in aberration of somebody coming in looking really fierce.
I wanted to add something. I'm in the middle of doing exercises, but I wanted to add that for some reason in California, the voters decided that they didn't want to allow the government in California to bargain to get lower drug prices for people here. Yeah, I really don't understand that.
That was Prop 6. Well,
you don't understand it.
Let me just say, Big Pharma.
$60 million of ads by Big Pharma against that, Larry. That's what did that. People are stupid.
It's the money.
They had a billboard of a brother, of an older black man that was supposedly a vet, and saying that if you vote for this, then it's going to mess with my medication, which is not true. It would give us the same bargaining power as the VA has for the entire state of California. But who's going to vote against an old black man in a uniform to show, you know, unfortunately, we didn't have enough out here. Like you said, Big Pharma outspent on Prop 61. So of course they're going to win, and their ad campaign was brilliant. They had all, you know, veterans saying that they were going to lose their benefits. It was going to be too. They wouldn't be able to afford this and stuff. And who's going to vote against veterans?
Well, yeah. the root cause of that is political advertising.
I did, and I'm a veteran.
You're smart, Sparky. That's
because you're smart, Sparky. You know you can read between the bullshit. I mean the lines.
Political advertising is not held to the same standard as if I come up and tell you that this new toothpaste will make you 2 inches taller, 100 pounds lighter, and a better dancer. And I can't prove that, then the FTC comes down on me for making false and misleading claims. I believe, and people say, oh, well, free speech. I believe that political advertising should be held to a similar standard. Mm-hmm. If someone makes a statement in a political ad, it has to be proven to a reasonable certainty that what they're saying is not just horseshit to sway ignorant voters.
Well, what kills me is the disclaimer is usually longer than the commercial.
Yep.
Yeah, it may cause irreversible kidney and liver damage. I mean, if you listen to this thing...
May cause your nose to fall off, yes.
My God, I'd rather have all the rights.
Hey, couple of things.
Oh, wait, what's happening?
Couple of things, real quick, because it's about 23 minutes before the program ends, and we got $140 to go in fundraising. So that's, like I said, but it's at the same place at headonradionetwork.com. Because of the stuff that happened, you probably got to clear your cash out and just go fresh. Second, since you saw toothpaste, you sent me that graphic. It's been stuck in my head. I love the idea of the new Lay's limited time flavor toothpaste and orange juice potato chips. I just love that.
And what inspired that was your chocolate-covered wavy potato chip.
And I think there's like two bags left at Wally World.
Well, get on down there and get them, Bob.
I mean, was that your very own thing, Scott? Did you come up with that on your own?
No, I saw that. I don't have the graphic in front of me, but I saw that some months ago, maybe six or eight months ago. And when you were talking about it, I said, well, let's see if I've still got that. I'll send it to Bob.
Yeah, because for those not knowing, the new Lay's potato chip experimental flavors, Lay's orange juice and toothpaste potato chips.
Ooh.
Lay's onion and banana juice potato chips.
Like sweet and sour pork rinds, isn't it?
Lay's couch flavored potato chips. Lay's haggis and watermelon chips.
Oh my God.
Hey, that's a big favorite in Glasgow.
Aye, it's huge.
I don't want to try that.
Do you not even have watermelon in Scotland?
Lay's pepperoni dog fart.
They had a contest where the Rubes could send in their two most favorite flavors and Lay's would pick up on it.
But I think the funniest one, just because it's just a normal thing, Lay's Diet Mountain Dew flavored potato chips.
Pepperoni. Does it cause the decay of the real Mountain Dew, Bob, or not?
That's
important.
But you know, anybody who's ever had a big swig of orange juice after brushing their teeth knows what a goddamn delight orange juice and toothpaste are.
Hey, Larry in the chat room says, next up, Moscow Peabed chips.
Oy.
Quick question.
Golden Lay's.
Okay, stop. Golden stop. Lays. Stop. Please, God. Stop.
How about Trump flavor?
Okay, you know what?
Okay, you're about to trisk. You're about to piss Tracy right off.
Oh! Jiminy Cricket, y'all.
Can I do a movie review?
Of what?
Yeah, Golden Mayonnaise.
Oh, really? See?
Tracy, he went there.
He went there.
I heard him. Went. See,
Bob
went.
Bob can tell you that I have been experimenting more and more with mayonnaise. See, now you just fucked it up with the golden mayonnaise. Seriously, I made myself a Weight Watchers burger today with the thin bread rounds and a hamburger patty and the ultra thin cheese and grilled onions. It was actually really good. And I put mayonnaise, you know how you fry up your burger and stuff, and you put your bun in the grease and stuff like that, just to, you know, to toast it. And see, now see, I have mayonnaise on my burger. Now you got me thinking about golden mayonnaise. You bastard. Really? Really?
Well, it's non-toxic. It's non-toxic, Tracy.
It's perfectly
sterile, Tracy.
You know what? I hate
it. It's exposed to the air.
This is that moment when I wish we were in the future and I could reach through my computer screen and snatch you both bald headed.
Just reach right through that white computer screen and
yeah, the angry black woman with the white computer, right?
Tracy, I think I've actually done that to a few people before, and they've actually felt it. You have to focus really, really, really hard.
And see, that's the question that I have, because I am speaking to you guys through my white computer. So how does it sound on your end? Is it clear?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Because this is me speaking.
It's great, Tracy. It sounds wonderful.
So my white computer.
You sound absolutely beautiful.
So my white computer is getting through to my white friends on the internet. Oh, okay.
Yes, see how it works?
You sound like the most gorgeous Sparky, black woman in the world.
Sparky, you were saying movie review?
Oh, yeah.
Which for
thanks to the Google machine that I know how to operate and drive really well, I watched Hidden Figures and Patriots Day last night.
Yes.
On the big screen TV via my laptop computer.
And
between the two, they're both good. Between the two, Hidden Figures has it thumbs up. That story of those three gals. It worked from NASA. It's just amazing. And the one gal, Katherine Johnson,
she's still alive.
Still, she's 98 years old. President Obama gave her the Presidential Medal of Freedom. She's from your neck of the woods, Bob. She went to West Virginia State University.
Darn sure did.
And it's I laughed. I cried. Oh, one gal took over IBM. They brought in a big old IBM computer system into the Langley NASA facility, but nobody at NASA knew how to work it, and they couldn't figure out. Well, the one gal sneaks in there, and she figures out what it is. So by the time she figures out how to run the whole damn thing, and she trains everybody else in her division, which are all black ladies, so it ends up they have to run the whole thing because the white guys couldn't do it. I mean, it's just amazing.
That is so awesome.
And it's real life. It's based on real life. And then... how Johnson's the one Katherine Johnson's interaction with John Glenn is just unforgettable, and I mean it actually happened. I mean he wouldn't go into space unless she did the calculation, proved that the calculations were correct.
Hey, Bob, can I make a quick match lunch?
Absolutely, and let me thank Don too. Don just knocked it down to $40 to go, so match a lunch away.
This is okay. I tell you what, I'll throw in 20, and I'll double it once I'm met. So you'll be 20 in the good to start the new week out.
That would be beautiful.
Okay, so I'll throw in 20, and I'm waiting for a match before the end of the program, and then I'll double it, make it 40 then.
Okay, I do not watch movies. I do not watch TV, but I want the name of this so that I can get myself to do something proactive, because I have to see this. This is just too much. What was the name of this?
Hidden
Figures.
It's Oh, by the way, just a point of order on the word gal. When you say gal, especially in reference to black women, not too good, especially in the South. Because instead of saying my her their name, it would just be called gal. And I know you don't mean it in a pejorative.
No, I would never mean that.
Don't, here we go. Don't do that.
I would never say that. No, I'm so sorry.
Whoever said, oh God, here we go, please. I take a lot, I joke a lot about race, and you guys know I do. But there's just certain things that I, because it's like, I've been called
gal. Thank you.
I've been called gal, and Scott knows how to put it out, honey. We don't, there's just certain things you don't do. And like mm-hmm. I say, I joke.
I'm sorry, Tracy.
I know, I'm just saying. But when you say, whoever
said, yeah, me too.
And you know I do. And I'm the first to joke about a lot of stuff.
And we got a lot of love for you, though.
And I love you all, too. You know, and I'm guessing
broad is out then, too, right?
Yeah, broad and sugar and honey and gal.
Let the record show that in late 68, early 69, I protested for about a month every Saturday to get the two white-owned cab companies in my hometown to hire black drivers. So my bona fides are good, or at least they were good back then. I don't know how I'm doing now.
I do want to get back just for a minute, just to reiterate. Rick has put a $20 challenge on the table, and when that's met, he'll double down on it. So
I'll see Rick's 20 and add a 10.
Now this is not Mississippi Hold'em, Tracy.
Well, I mean, I have to practice.
It's called Friday night on the front porch poker.
I'm going to the casino on Sunday, so Saturday.
Let's all get our dollar bills out and play the ultimate case of liar's poker, because we've all just got five, 12 aces.
All right, I got a stack. I was going to the Oak
sexy
Club.
Standing.
I'm sorry, Jules.
Up in front of my, unless there's something sexy standing up in front of me on the bar, I am not getting no dollar bills out. So you can just shove that one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hey. I got a question. I need some help here as we head out the door.
Go ahead, Bob.
At many of your recommendation, since I now have $5 a month HBO.
Metal Boone?
Pardon?
Metal Boone?
No. Shut up. I love Cletus, but I don't love you so much right now.
I understand. Proceed.
Besides, Three Doors Down or something is going to be performing at the inauguration.
And so is the B Street Band.
I didn't even know. I mean,
B Street Band.
No, the B Street, not the E Street.
America's greatest Bruce Springsteen cover band.
Three doors down. Bruce, by the way, Bob,
tells them not to do it. They ain't gonna do it.
Bob.
Yeah, Larry.
Bob, I just want to let you know, Three Doors Down was the man that did that song "Kryptonite" and
yes,
from Mississippi. So.
Yeah, and they haven't had a hit. They haven't had a hit since the Clinton administration.
Wow.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, but they're one of the big hot acts. But anyway, now that I've got $5 a month HBO, I took a lot of y'all's advice
and watched,
and I started on Westworld.
And
that thing's moving even slower than freaking season 2 of The Man in the High Castle. Somebody better tell me it's going to pick up.
It does pick up. It's worth it. It's
okay,
it's,
but Tracy, was it slow in like the first 3 episodes?
Yeah.
It's really, I don't have HBO, but I watched it on my Google machine. It lets me watch shit for free.
It was like The Sopranos. The first episode was horrible. You know, the first episode of The Sopranos was awful. But
I'm just getting tired of watching Dolores say the same lines over and over again.
Doesn't it pick up by what episode are you on, Bob?
We just finished The Stray, which is episode 3.
You're supposed to be watching Hell on Wheels, Bob.
Shut up, Sparky, but let's.
No, well, I mean, that's going to happen too. I mean, that's what weekends are for binge viewing. Absolutely.
Hell's Bells. What channel is Hell's on Wheels
again? Netflix.
Netflix.
And I have Netflix.
I finished watching it.
I actually binged watched Ray Donovan, all four seasons. Awesome.
That's a commitment.
Last night I finished rewatching both of the seasons so far of Better Call Saul, the spinoff, the prequel to Breaking Bad. It gets better every time I watch it. It too has been kind of slow.
The third season's coming out, I believe, next month, friend. So just hang tight, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm just kidding. And in a way, I'm killing time back. Till Outsiders comes back.
There you go.
The 24th.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I'm killing time till Black Sails comes back. But then, and this is a cultural thing, you know, first world problems again. I'll probably watch each episode of Outsiders as it comes. But, like, Black Sails, I'm wondering if I should watch the first episode of the fourth and final season, or should I just let the whole thing blow by and then watch it? I mean, that's the new binge-watching mentality, isn't it? Because it's a lot more like watching a movie when you've got several episodes.
Am I the only one that likes Orange is the New Black?
Yes.
I love that show. And then okay. The new episode is coming back in June.
My issue with Orange is the New Black is the way they portray. First of all, I've had my experience in L.A. County Jail, so I know what it's like to go to jail.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that.
So, but it's not even that. It's just the fact that I don't like how they portray black women, except for my girl Lorraine Toussaint. But the rest of it, I can't stand coonism and jigaboism. And unfortunately, with a lot of these shows that portray, you know, that have us on the show, it's like they said, well, you're lucky we actually gave you a part of the show. Quit bitching.
Well, that's like I'm waiting for the new season of Outlander too, which I have subtitled Mean Dirty White People.
I love that show, right, Bob? It's your fault.
Okay, so you bought in, did you?
Oh, I'm all in. Like you said, I'm just when does it come back?
They haven't announced. Is Tobias Menzies the meanest son of a bitch you've ever seen on film?
Say again?
Is Tobias Menzies the meanest son of a bitch you've ever seen on film, Black Jack Randall?
Man.
That is one evil son bitch. But
did you watch? You said you watched the Goliath?
Yeah.
Now, I hope they bring it back because, see, I need to.
Well, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but I don't think they can.
But yes, they can, because they can backtrack to see how what happened to William Hurt and how he got to the way he was.
Okay, so like a prequel.
Yeah, a prequel of how William Hurt and Billy Bob Thornton's characters got to where they are in the episode, you know, because that's a story right there. That's. Because that was, I don't know about you, but that show was fucking, let me just tell you how good it was. My brother was over and I just watched it on a whim, and he came over and watched it and made his girlfriend get Amazon Prime so they could watch it all the way through.
Well, I enjoy, and you know, the funny thing is I tried reading the first book and of Outlander. Was terrible. Was awful.
Really?
Oh, it was, I mean, yuck. And you know, Black Sails and Outlander both are roughly set in the same time period, and there's the certain obligatory amount of bodice ripping going on. But the history behind it is really interesting. And because it's historic, I know how they both end, more or less. Speaking of history, not history, mythology, not mythology, let me throw one more out there since we're on the way out the door. Out of a sense of, oh, what the hell shall we watch next? Last night, Agnes and I clicked on Gods of Ancient Egypt.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah, I was good for about 15 minutes. my finger was on the fuck it button right about when I realized that all the gods of ancient Egypt and most everybody else who lived in ancient Egypt was white folks.
Yeah.
That's always
confused me. White and blonde usually. It's like, really?
You should have just watched I, Claudius, Bob, the old PBS series.
Oh, I've got that one memorized.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for sand and sandals, swords and sandals, whatever.
Coagulous porn, Tracy. Come on.
Can I raise a serious question?
Okay, we have a serious question from Ron.
Going back to drugs and pharmaceuticals.
Yes.
Does anybody personally know anyone who has ever had a 4-hour erection?
Maybe if I had, I wouldn't be a lesbian now.
I do.
Wait, nobody say a word.
I know.
Actually, it's supposed to. Oh, it is 4 hours. I thought it was 6 hours.
I know someone who knows someone who's had a 4-hour erection.
Were they smiling?
Well, it was my ex-wife's first husband.
It happened to my late Uncle Henry. It is a thing. And he had to go to the ER strapped down looking like a pup tent.
Well.
So it is a thing, you know, it does happen.
Well,
that's the best goddamn marketing line I've ever heard.
Oh, it is.
Well, I have a question to ask Ron before we go, and that's, how are things going in Canada with Trudeau? I hear he's a big disappointment, or that people knew he was going to be a disappointment. I don't know. Mm-hmm. What's going on, Ron?
Can we wait to the after show, Larry, for the answer?
Okay, I guess so. Yes, thank you.
It's above 60%.
And I just got a note from Randy in PA saying the program is mercifully coming to a close, Bob.
There's no more.
Everybody's a critic.
Boner humor, toilet humor. We just pulled all the stops tonight, didn't we?
Yeah, and
Bob?
You threw in a couple of wee wees just there now too, Steve. I mean, you're working overtime now, brother.
That's how they say it in France. Wee wee.
Wee wee, monsieur.
Oh, I already did. Jesus. All right, we're quitting now.
That could help, Bob.
Ron, stick around and answer Larry's question, because I bet I know where it comes from. Jane Fonda delivered a Jeremy ad against Justin Trudeau the other day, and a lot of people have decided that Justin Trudeau is now some sort of oil company fifth columnist. But I don't like oil companies.
Don't vote up here.
But I bet that's part of where it comes from. But I'm muting everybody, and I'm thanking everybody. We had a great group in this evening. Thanks, Rick. Thanks, Steve from Georgia Stan. Thanks, Ron in the far freezing north. Thank you, Snork. Thanks, Tracy. Thanks, Larry, for popping by. So good to see you. Thank you, Jules. Thank you to Scott and Punky. Thanks, Don in Central PA. And, of course, always thanks to longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran Horn Malloy Skype chat group and Horn chat room moderator Sparky, without whom this just wouldn't happen. And thanks to everybody who is supporting the program. Thanks to everybody who has helped us meet the fundraising goal for this evening. We're going to start fresh on Moran Monday, 2 weeks in a row, and that's exciting. And thanks to all of you who spend your precious finite time engaged in this little conversation. Howsoever you may do it, you make this a wonderful, wonderful experience. And for that, personally, I thank you. Thanks to John Fox for all the work he's done on the website lately. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you. Thank you to Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, the hardest working, bravest people I know, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all, and have a great weekend.